بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى ونفعنا بعلومه وعلوم مشايخنا وعلوم السائر الصالحين في الدارين آمين. باب الخروج إلى الضيعة. So if you remember the last chapter, Imam Bukhari رحمه الله عليه mentioned باب الخروج إلى المبقلة. That if somebody has a vegetable garden, it's okay to go out there to visit or to work in the garden or just to, you know, relax and enjoy the fresh air. So the similar meaning here, al-dhay'a means some land, usually a piece of land a person has outside the city. So if he visits for whatever reason, there's no harm in that. We can learn from this. Sometimes, you know, you go out to the park just for a walk, or, you know, in the countryside, you enjoy the fresh air, you go with your family or your friends, and you have a little picnic. So this is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good, you know, to have a bit of fresh air. And also, you know, your mind, mentally, you feel fresh, you feel good. So the Sahaba would do this as well. So it says, عن أبي سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: أتيت أبا سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه وكان لي صديقا. I visited Abu Sa'id and he was a friend of mine. فقلت ألا تخرج بنا إلى النخل. So I said to him, would you like to come with us to the palm date farm, or date palm farm, where the date palms are. فخرج وعليه خميسة له. So he came out wearing a black bordered cloak. Khamisa is a specific type of cloak, a sheet of cloth that people that you wrap around yourself. So he was wearing this and he came with us. And عن أم موسى رضي الله عنها قالت سمعت علي رضي الله عنه يقول أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله بن مسعود أن يصعد شجرة فيأتيه منها بشيء. فنظر أصحابه إلى ساق عبد الله فضحكوا من حموشة ساقيه. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما تضحكون؟ لرجل عبد الله أثقل في الميزان من أحد. علي رضي الله عنه said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered Abdullah bin Mas'ud to climb a tree and bring him something from it. In some riwayat, it comes that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed a miswak. So miswak, you just, if you climb up a tree, you know, you just take the branch and you can make a miswak out of it. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was the close attendant and khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was known as, you know, sahibun na'alayn wal wisada. When they would travel, he would look after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sandals and his pillow. So, you know, this is a very intimate service that he had the honor of doing for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And, you know, it said even though he wasn't from Quraysh, but in his appearance he was very similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would frequent his house so much that when people from outside would come, they would actually think that he's a family member of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he wasn't actually related. So, since he's one of the khuddam, one of the people who would always be ready for the khidmat and service of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he needed a miswak, he asked Abdullah, "Get me one." So Abdullah climbed up the tree. Now, when he was climbing up the tree, his lower garment moved up a little bit, you know, and the other Sahaba who were there, they saw his legs, and his shin, it was quite thin. Yeah. So his companions looked at Abdullah's shin and laughed at the thinness of his legs. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Why are you laughing? Abdullah's leg is heavier in the balance, in Allah's balance, than Mount Uhud. The word used here for mizan is for balance, mizan. So Abdullah's leg is heavier in the mizan than the Mount Uhud. The mizan, we know the scales that will be put up on the day of Qiyamah to weigh people's actions. And the Quran mentions it, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْحَقَّ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. So this is our aqidah, that there is a mizan and actions will be weighed. Okay. Some people did object to this, that actions have disappeared. How can they be weighed? They don't have a form. However, this is all in Allah's qudra, Allah's power. Nowadays, we measure data. I've got 2 gigabytes of data, 3 gigabytes of data. We can't see the data, but we have a way of measuring it. So Allah Ta'ala has a way of measuring the quality of a'mal, and there's nothing difficult to understand there. This is why some groups who, amongst Muslims, or who consider themselves among Muslims at least, like the Mu'tazila, they actually denied the mizan and said it's all metaphorical. However, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah have believe in the mizan, that there is a physical mizan and actions will be weighed. Then how will they be weighed? Some people, some ulama took this hadith and said that the person himself will be placed in the scale and his weight will be based on his actions. Okay, because it says here that his Abdullah's ibn Mas'ud's leg is heavier in the mizan than Mount Uhud. That shows that he will be in the mizan. However, other ulama say no, his sahaiful a'mal will be in the mizan. Yeah, because there's another hadith, a person will come and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, do you have any good action? No, his a'mal will be in front of him. And there will be piles and piles and piles, as far as you can see, of books of bad deeds. Right? Every person has an angel on his right, writing his good deeds, and an angel on his left, writing the bad deeds. So this person will have books and books and books, as far as you can see, filled with bad deeds. And there will be no books with good deeds. So Allah will say, did you ever do anything good? And he'll say, yeah, Allah, I didn't do anything good. Yeah, as you can see, I only have bad deeds. So then, a tiny piece of paper will be bought, and Allah will say, there is an action in here of yours, which is a good deed of yours. And in the paper will be written, La ilaha illallah, that he had the kalima. And then all of his bad deeds will be placed in one side of the mizan, and this tiny piece of paper with the kalima will be placed in the other side. And for Rajahat, that side with the tiny paper will prove to be heavier than all those bad deeds, and Allah will admit him into Jannah. So, based on this hadith, some ulama were of the opinion that the actual book of deeds will be placed in the mizan. However, most ulama say, most scholars and commentators of hadith say that it will be the actual actions. Allah will give them a body, or Allah will bring the actions, however it's fit, however Allah wills, and they will be placed in the mizan. And this is why many ahadith say, Subhanallah, tamla'ul mizan, walhamdulillah, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, tamla'ani, ba bayna samai wal ard. The Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, these words, they will fill the mizan. So it shows that the actual actions will be in the mizan. Allahu alam. So the main purpose of these two riwayat, these two narrations, is to show that the Sahaba, and on one occasion even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was in a garden. It mentions here that I've got it's not clearly mentioned, but it shows that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud climbed up the tree. So that shows that they were in a garden with other Sahaba who were there, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's allowed, and it's permitted. The next chapter, 120, Babun al-Muslimu Mir'atu Akhi. A Muslim is a believe is a mirror for his brother. Okay, we should be like a mirror for each other. What does it mean by mirror for each other? That if one of our Muslim brothers or sisters has some kind of fault in them, if they're doing something wrong, then we should alert them, inform them. Okay, this is in their best interest. Okay, because many a times we have something wrong within us, and we would like somebody to let us know. Okay, so in the same way, if you see something wrong in someone, you should tell them. And if somebody tells you your fault, you should thank them and appreciate it that, you know, in the future I can rectify this rather than being offended. Okay. Now, there are ulama have mentioned many very fine points of why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose the word mir'at and mirror. One is that a mirror only shows the defect as it is. Okay, if you have something on your face, if you have some something dirty, a stain on your face, and you look in the mirror, it'll only show you how much it is. It won't make it bigger than it actually is. Okay, so in the same way, if you see someone's defect, tell them as it is. Don't make it out to be bigger or worse than it actually is. The other thing is, a mirror is silent, and it only shows your defect when you look in it. Okay, if somebody else looks in the mirror, they'll see their own image, not somebody else's. So in the same way, if you see a defect within someone, just let them know. Don't advertise it to the whole world that this person has this defect. This is a beautiful example Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, that we should all be like mirrors for each other. We should try and better each other, but in a non-offensive way. In a way, for example, if you know someone's doing something wrong, privately, in a polite manner, let them know. You don't need to let others know, or don't shame them, which will upset them. Yeah. The next. Yeah, so عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال المؤمن مرآة أخيه إذا رأى فيه عيبا أصلحه. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said that a believer is a mirror to his brother. If he sees a fault with him, he will correct it. And in the second, this was from Abu Hurairah's own statement. In the second one, he narrates it from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال المؤمن مرآة أخيه المؤمن والمؤمن No, sorry, I read it wrong. المؤمن مرآة أخيه المؤمن والمؤمن أخو المؤمن. A believer is a mirror for his believing brother, and a believer is the brother of a believer. We know commonly that, even though it mentions brother, it includes sisters in there. This was common practice among the Arabs. يكف عليه ضيعته. He protects him against danger. ويحوطه من ورائه and guards him from behind. Okay? So we are all brothers and sisters, so we look out for each other. If we know our brother or sister is in danger, we protect them. If they're away, okay, then we'll guard them, we'll watch guard for them. Okay? If our neighbor has gone away for some time on a holiday, we'll keep an eye out, make sure that nobody breaks into their house, nobody tries to harm them in any way. So this means يحوطه من ورائه, that guards him from behind. Hadith number 240 عن المستورد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أكل بمسلم أكلة فإن الله يطعمه مثلها من جهنم. Whoever eats a meal, or you could even say a morsel, anything which is eaten. So whoever takes a morsel, whoever consumes any food, literally, at the expense of a Muslim. Okay? You eat, meaning you earn. Because eating is commonly used for earning. When you earn money, then you eat with that money. So if you earn some money at the expense of another, Okay, you shame somebody else, you belittle somebody else, you ridicule, or you talk bad of somebody. And as a result of that, you receive some money which you use for food. Okay? For example, if you know that these two people, there's somebody who's well off and he doesn't like this person. So you go to him and criticize that person he doesn't like. And you know that when I criticize him, when I say bad things about him, or I give him some bad information. Okay, for example, I know some secrets of that person. I go and tell this person, and as a result of that, I get some gift, I get some money. Then, so that's the meaning of whoever eats at the expense of a Muslim. Okay, whether it's a meal or even a morsel, Allah will make him have a similar meal of the fire of Jahannam. Meaning Allah will feed him from Jahannam. وَمَنْ كَسَى بِرَجُلٍ مُسْلِمٍ. And whoever is clothed, meaning he receives some clothes at the expense of another Muslim, then Allah Azza wa Jal will give him a garment from hell. وَمَنْ قَامَ بِرَجُلٍ مُسْلِمٍ مَقَامَ رِيَاءٍ وَسُمْعَةٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يقوم به مقام رياء وسمعة يوم القيامة. Whoever takes up a position the author the translation is translated as through hypocrisy. Yeah. That's one translation by Sheikh Adil Salahi or Adil Saleh is it? Adil Saleh, sorry. I would have translated it slightly differently. Whoever stands in a place of, you could say, show and fame. Okay. There's two meanings for this. One is qama bi rajul, that he stands at the expense of another, meaning he achieves some status, he achieves some fame and some name at the expense of others, like politicians often do. Or it could mean that he puts somebody else in a position of fame. Okay, there's somebody who's not deserving of a good name, of a good position, but this person puts him onto a position, and his purpose is that in exchange for that, he will earn something. Then Allah will put him in a position of riya and sum'ah, translated as hypocrisy, on the day of Qiyamah. Meaning Allah will make a spectacle of him. Allah will show him to everybody. Okay? Riya and Sum'a are often used in the hadith for very similar meanings, usually translated as showing off and ostentation. Okay? Riya means literally to show, okay? To be seen, to want to be seen. So, for example, you perform salah or you give charity purely because you want people to see you doing that. And Sum'a is to want to be heard, okay, or to do something to be heard. So, sorry, just do something to hear, not to be heard, to do something to hear, meaning you do a good act, a good deed, so you can hear people praising you. So there's a very subtle difference. Riya, you do something so people can see you. And Sum'a, you do something so you can hear people praising you. So they're closely linked. So whoever gets to a position where people will see him and talk about him at the expense of another, then Allah will put him in a position on the day of Qiyamah where people will see him and talk about him. Meaning, his punishment will be such that everyone will be looking at him and talking about how bad that punishment is. Because Allah Ta'ala punishes people according to their crime, according to the sin. So because he wanted fame in this dunya, Allah will give him fame through punishment on the day of Qiyamah. Wallahu a'lam. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us from seeking fame and ostentation. You know, these are all symptoms of arrogance and pride. Shaitan is full of arrogance. That's why he wanted, you know, he wanted to be above Adam alayhi salam. He couldn't humble himself. So seeking fame, seeking position is a sign of pride. So therefore, we shouldn't do anything for the sake of fame or position. If we do something good and it brings fame itself, or it brings some status itself, then we embrace that. We don't have any problem with that. But we shouldn't be seeking that ourselves. Chapter 121, Babun ma la yajuzu min al-la'ibi wal-mizah. Okay. After a few chapters, there's a chapter on humor and joking, which is going to come. So over here, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi mentions some type of play and joking which is not permitted. Yeah. And Abdullah ibn Sa'ib an abihi an jaddihi qal sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam يعني يقول لا يأخذ أحدكم متاع صاحبه لاعبا ولا جادا فإذا أخذ أحدكم عصا صاحبه فليردها إليه. Okay. Abdullah ibn Sa'ib narrates from his grandfather Yazid bin Sa'id. Yazid bin Sa'id, sorry. That he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, one of you should not take the article, meaning the possession or anything of another, whether in jest, are you joking, or seriously. Okay, many a times we do this. You know, if somebody leaves their phone and goes to the bathroom, the friends will hide the phone, or you know, if so in school, if somebody's got a pen and they look the other way, they'll hide the pen. So now, when that person needs it, when they come back, they'll start panicking. Oh no, where's it gone? Where's it gone? And then everybody laughs at them. So this causes a person to be disturbed, to get worried, to panic, you know, and it causes upset to a person. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, don't do this. Many a times, when they were traveling, you know, they would keep a stick with them, you know, to lean on when you're walking, and also if any small animal comes, like a snake or something, scorpion, you can shoo it away with the stick. So sometimes they hide the person's stick as a joke. So Rasulullah said, don't do this, neither in joking nor serious. If you do it out of seriousness, that means you intend to not give it back. That's obviously stealing. That's totally not allowed. And even if it's done as a joke, because of the discomfort it causes, it is not allowed. Rasulullah clearly said, don't do this. In this hadith, فَإِذَا أَخَذَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَصَى صَاحِبِهِ فَلْيَرُدَّهَا إِلَيْهِ. If any of you takes away his friend's stick, let him return it to him. Give it back to him. Don't let him, you know, worry and get disturbed before giving it back. بَابٌ الدَّالُّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ. That to show somebody good, to indicate someone to good, to advise someone of good. If you show somebody a good, then you will also get the reward of that goodness. Okay, there's an example in the hadith. And Abi Mas'ud al-As'ani radiallahu anhu qala ja'a rajulun bi sa'atin qala inni ubdi'u bi fahmilni. Sorry, ubdi'a, it's a past tense, ma fi al-madi. Inni ubdi'a bi fahmilni. That I am ubdi'a bi means I have no right. They translated here, I'm in a dire situation. Ubdi'a bi means to not have a ride. So I'm in a dire situation, or you can say, I don't have any animal. فَحْمِلْنِي. So please give me a mount. Give me an animal that I can ride on when I'm traveling. قَالَ لَا أَجِدُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't have one. وَلَكِنْ إِئْتِ فُلَانًا. However, go to so-and-so. فَلَعَلَّهُ أَنْ يَحْمِلَكَ. Maybe he will give you one. فَأَتَاهُ فَحَمَلَهُ. So he went to the man, and he gave him a mount. فَأَتَى النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَأَخْبَرَهُ. He came to Rasulullah and informed him, Ya Rasulullah, this person gave me the amount that you said about. فَقَالَ مَنْ دَلَّ عَلَىٰ خَيْرٍ فَلَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ فَاعِلِهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever points out a way of doing good receives a reward similar to that of the person who does it. Subhanallah. So if you indicate someone to a good, then you will get a reward as if you did that good for them. Okay? For example, somebody, you know, is looking for a job, and you can't employ them, but you say, look, so and so person, he's got a company, he's got a he has jobs going, why don't you speak to him? So if that person gives them the job, you'll get huge ajr for that, for indicating them. Or if somebody is in need, they need a loan or they need some charity, you don't have anything to give them, Yeah, I'm sorry, I just got a phone call there. Yeah, for example, somebody needs a loan or somebody needs some charity, and you can't give them, but you say, look, go to so and so, and he'll give you. So if they go there and they get the loan from there or they get the charity from there, you will get a reward as if you gave that loan, as if you gave that charity. So if you know some information that could help someone, you should share that information and not keep it to yourself, and you'll be rewarded for that. Like over here, Rasulullah didn't give him the camel or the animal to ride on. Somebody else gave it. But because Rasulullah referred him, he would also receive the complete ajr as if he himself gave that ride. So this is a principle in Sharia, that if you are a cause for good, then you will get a reward as if you did that good. And if a person is a cause for bad, they will have sin like the one who did that sin. Okay, it comes in a hadith, man sanna sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha. Whoever starts off a good practice, then they will have the reward of it, and whoever acts upon it. Waman sanna sunnatan sayyi'atan falahu wizruha wa wizru man amila biha. Whoever starts off a evil practice, then for him will be the sin of that pra of his own act and the sin of whoever acts upon it. And it comes in the hadith that the first murder ever committed was by Qabil, the son of Adam. He murdered his brother Habil. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that for every murder that takes place on earth, a share of that sin will go to Qabil because he started this practice off. So this is a principle in Sharia, that anybody who is a cause for good will have the reward, continue having the reward for that good, and if you are a cause for bad, then you will have the sin for that bad. Babul afwi was safhi anin nas. Af, to pardon, and saf is also similar to forego and give a pay a blind eye, to not focus on people's faults. So to forgive people, let people go, let people off. If somebody wrongs you, if somebody upsets you, we should forgive them and pardon them. عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن يهودية أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بشاة مسمومة فأكل منها فجيء بها فقيل ألا نقتلها؟ قال لا. قال فما زلت أعرفها في لهوات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنس رضي الله عنه reports that a Jewish woman bought the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم a poisoned lamb. This story is mentioned in detail in other hadith as well, that she invited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she gifted him a poisoned lamb to eat. So Rasulullah called some Sahaba, they sat down and they were about to eat it. فأكل منها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ate of it. And so the full story is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just took the morsel into his mouth, and then through wahi he was informed that this lamb is poison. So immediately he removed it from his mouth. The other Sahaba had not eaten from it, except for one Sahabi whose name was Bishr bin Bara bin Ma'rur. So he ate from it and he passed away. But the other Sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told him not to eat. In one narration, it comes that later he said, say Bismillah and eat, and they ate from it, and nothing harmed them. Allahu a'lam. But this one Sahabi did pass away. Faqila, ala naqtuluha? So somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, shall we not kill her? All right, because this is an assassination attempt, and on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should kill her in retaliation, so nobody dares do that again. Qala la, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. So he pardoned her; he didn't punish her. Then what actually happened to her? There are two types of narrations. One narration is that the family of of Sahabi Bishr, who passed away, they made a claim against her, and she was held to account for that. And the other opinion is that she actually became Muslim and she was pardoned. Allahu a'lam, Allah knows best. قال فما زلت أعرفها في لهوات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anas radiallahu anhu says that I continued to recognize that the effect of that in the throat and the tonsils of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why the translator says, "I have recognized the effects in the Prophet's throat ever since," meaning that he could tell that Rasulullah would often feel discomfort from that because of that poison. So the pain stayed with him till the end of his life. And towards the end of his life, before he passed away, he actually said that I can feel my veins are being cut inside because of that poison which that Jewish woman fed me. Yeah, there's one question here somebody could ask, that if Allah Ta'ala sent wahi to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this goat is poison, or this lamb is poison, and you shouldn't eat it, then why did Allah wait for it to reach his tonsil, to reach his throat? Why didn't Allah send the wahi earlier? If Allah wanted, Allah could have informed him before he even went, or before he even received it. So the answer to that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to reward Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the status of a shaheed. Even though the status of a nabi and a rasul is greater than the status of a shaheed. Nabi, then siddiq, then shaheed. But Allah wanted to give him this additional fazilat and virtue that he can also be amongst the shuhada, even though he's a Nabi already, but he can also be a Shaheed. So this is why this happened. This is the hikmah behind it, that he also it wasn't appropriate for him to pass away in battle. Allah didn't want that. Allah had a destined that, but Allah wanted to give him the rank of a Shaheed, and that happened in this way. Or at least the virtue of a Shaheed. So it happened in this way. And Allah had written Shahada and martyrdom for Azad Bishr, so he passed away as a result of it immediately. In the next hadith, and Wahb ibn Qaysan qala sami'tu Abd Allah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma yaqulu 'ala al-minbar khudh al-'afwa wa'mur bil-'urfi wa'rid 'anil jahili. Wahb ibn Qaysan says that I heard Abdullah ibn Zubayr reciting this verse whilst delivering a khutbah on the minbar, that khudh al-'afwa, make due allowance for man's nature. Okay, so khudh al-'afwa, this has been, Mufassirin have mentioned it in different ways, like it's translated here. Imam Bukhari has brought it in the chapter of afwa and pardoning, so it shows that in his opinion, afwa over here means pardoning. Also, other tafsir have been done, like al-'afwa min makarim al-akhlaq, something like that. But Imam Bukhari is trying to say that hold on to pardoning, meaning make it your habit to pardon. So if somebody wrongs you, if somebody upsets you, forgive them, let them off, and keep pardoning people. Wa'mur bil 'urf, and enjoin what is right. Okay, so this is also from makarim al-akhlaq, good manners. Ulama say, and in the hadith it comes actually, that all of good characteristics and good manners are found in this ayah. When somebody wrongs you, pardon them. And wa'mur bil-'urf, enjoin and command others to do good. Because when you encourage good, that means you care about people. Okay? When a person, you tell someone, pray, perform, advise someone to perform salah, advise someone to pay their zakah, you advise people to be good, you advise them, to be good to others, you advise them to not be bad, not do haram things. Why would somebody do that except for they care for people? Right? We think that good akhlaq is only being nice to people, but actually working hard to rectify people's amal and keep them on the right path and encourage them to live a life according to the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a righteous life. This is also good akhlaq. This is also wishing best for others. Like said, deen nasiha, deen is wanting what's best for others and being sincere for others. If you are sincere for your friends and your associates, you will want what's best for them in this world and the hereafter, and therefore you will remind them in a polite and good way what is best. Okay, udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izatil hasana, call to the path of your Lord with wisdom and good advice. And finally, the third thing, wa'arid anil jahilin, turn away from those who choose to remain ignorant. Meaning some people are ignorant, so they may offend you, especially when you give them da'wah and you invite them to deen and you encourage them to do good things and refrain from bad. Then they may hurl abuses at you and say, what's your problem? Like now the people do it's my life, only Allah can judge me, you can't judge me, what you should tell me. So if you hear these kind of comments, then a'rid, then just ignore them, don't pay attention to them, don't get offended, don't get angry by them. So there is well actually read this on the minbar, on the pulpit when he became the Khalifa. Yeah, his Khilafat was established over Hijaz, in whilst it was after Sayyidina Muawiyah passed away, and Yazid took the Khilafat in Kufa. He governed, sorry, not in Kufa, in Dimash. He governed Damascus, the whole area of Sham, and also Iraq. But in Hijaz, Makkah, Medina, and these areas, and I believe Yemen as well, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, radiallahu anhu, established his rulership. But then there was a brutal attack from Yazid's forces, and he was martyred, and his Khilafah didn't last so long. So when he established himself as the Khalifa, he made this announcement that Wallahi ma umira biha an tu'khadha illa bil akhlaqin nas, that by God, what has been commanded to be taken is nothing but, so nothing has been commanded to be taken except from the best of people's manners. How is Sheikh Adil translated? He has ordered that these values reflecting people's manners are to be upheld. Meaning these three instructions encompass all good manners. These are from good manners. Wallahi la'akhudhannaha minhum ma sahibtuhum. Indeed, I will take these, meaning I will hold on to these instructions as long as I am amongst you. By amongst you, he means as long as I govern over you. Meaning, as long as I'm your ruler, I will practice this verse, I will pardon, I will instruct good, and if anybody is ignorant, I will stay away from them. He's giving them assurance that I will be a, inshallah, I will be a fair and a just and a good ruler, not a tyrant one. Not a harsh one. In the next riwayah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علموا ويسروا ولا تعسروا وإذا غضب أحدكم فليسكت. The Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, teach others and make things easy, not difficult. Okay? So it's good to teach. Whatever knowledge you have, to spread that knowledge is good. But when you teach, try and make things easy. Don't cause difficulty. Okay? If you're able to take the easy way, and don't go for the difficult path for people, don't make things difficult for people. And وَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. When any of you is in a state of anger, let him keep silent. I think this is good advice for teachers, that try and make the lesson as easy and simple for the students as possible. You should prepare the lesson well. One of my teachers' teachers used to say that you should always go over the lesson three times. The first time to get the concepts right in your own mind, and the second time to put them in order, in an orderly fashion, in an organized manner, and the third time to make them easy for the students to understand and take in. So the teachers should work to make their lessons easy. And cause ease, meaning if you have a choice of giving an instruction, try and go for the easier way, don't go for the difficult way. And if you're angry, then remain silent. Because when you're angry, you end up saying things that you're going to regret later. So rather than that, just remain silent. Babun al-inbisat ila al-nas. Being cheerful, approaching people in a cheerful manner. Okay. عن عطاء بن يسار قال لقيت عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما فقلت أخبرني عن صفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في التوراة. عطاء بن يسار says, I met Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhuma. I said, tell me how Allah's messenger is described in the Torah. He said, أجل والله يس by Allah إنه لموصوف في التوراة ببعض صفته في القرآن. Indeed, he is described in the Torah by some of his qualities mentioned in the Quran. يا أيها النبي, O Prophet, إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا. Indeed, we have sent you as a witness, a bearer of good news, and a warner. This much is in the Quran. The next part was in the Torah, but not in the Quran. وَحِرْزًا لِلْأُمِّيِّينَ. And we have sent you as a guardian, a protector for the Ummis, the unschooled, unlettered. أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَرَسُولِي. You are my servant and my messenger. سَمَّيْتُكَ الْمُتَوَكِّلِ. I have named you as Al-Mutawakkil, one who totally relies on Allah. لَيْسَ بِفَظٍّ وَلَا غَلِيظٍ. Who is neither rude nor unkind, okay, or neither rude and harsh, harsh-tongued, harsh-natured. So he's very kind and soft in his nature. وَلَا سَخَّابٍ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Nor is he quarrelsome in the markets. Okay, one translation of Sakhab is also somebody who makes a lot of noise. So he's not somebody who makes a lot of noise in markets. Okay, meaning he's a very composed, dignified person. وَلَا يَدْفَعُ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. He does not repel a bad deed with a bad one. لَكِنْ يَعْفُو وَيَغْفِرُ. Rather, he pardons and forgives. وَلَنْ يَقْبِضَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى حَتَّى يُقِيمَ بِهِ الْمِلَّةَ الْعَوْجَاءِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take him back, will not cause him to die, until through him he has straightened the faith that has become crooked. Okay? Meaning the deen which Ibrahim alayhi salam brought, and then Ismail alayhi salam and Ishaq alayhi salam and the prophets all propagated, that had become crooked because people had made changes in there. So this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will straighten that. He will remove the wrongs that have been brought into the religion and to the faith. بأن يقولوا, so they will say لا إله إلا الله ويفتح بها أعينا عميا. And through him, Allah, or through with this. Sorry, through this kalima, he will open up blind eyes and deaf ears and sealed hearts. SubhanAllah. So, this is a beautiful description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Torah. If anybody is well versed in the Old Testament, they may even, or you can search online, they may have even found verses similar to these in the Torah. So many of these. Many of the times when we have, you know, because the Sahaba, some Sahaba, when they narrate from the Torah, they had read the Torah. Okay, some Sahaba has studied the Torah, some Tabi'een as well. So you may be able to find verses like these. Allahu A'lam. أنا طيب يا سائل عبد الله بن عبد العاص إذا قال إن هذه الآية التي في القرآن يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا وبشيرا ونذيرا في التوراة نحوه. The same verse is found in the Torah. And then, and Abdul Rahman Jubayr Nufair حدثه النبه وحدثه النو سمع معاوية يقول سمعت من صلى يقول كلاما نفعني الله به سمعته يقول أو قال سمعت رسول الله صلى يقول إنك إذا اتبعت الريبة في الناس أفسدتهم فإني لا أتبع الريبة فيهم فأفسدهم. حدث معاوية سيدنا معاوية بن سفيان the famous خليفة, he says I heard some words from رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم which have really benefited me, given me clear benefit. And they are that if you delve into people's faults, into people's secrets, okay, or secret faults, then you will corrupt them. If you're suspicious all the time, then people will start behaving in suspicious ways as well. So think good of people. Don't chase people's faults. Don't look for people's faults. Yeah, if you come across something wrong, then deal with it, especially as a ruler. Okay, I'm just nearly finished, okay? Sorry, my son wasn't well today, so he didn't go to the madrasa. Yes, if you, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he's a Khalifa. So of course, if somebody commits a crime and it comes known to him, then he would have to deal with it. But he's saying from this hadith, I learned that I shouldn't seek, I shouldn't spy on people, and I shouldn't go out of my way to find people's faults. So we shouldn't look for people's faults because that will corrupt them. Because when you put cameras everywhere, for example, when you're even with your children, if you're always looking at them and checking on them, and then they'll find ways, other ways to do things, which might cause them into more wrong. If you have an open relationship, they'll make mistakes sometimes, and then you can help them, guide them, teach them to be responsible. But if you're always going to be suspicious, and if you're always going to be checking on them for every little thing, then you're just going to teach them to hide their things better, right? And by that way, they'll go into more wrong and more corruption. So, as the Muawiyah says, therefore, I do not go into people's secrets so that I will not corrupt them. At least 249. And Muawiyah bin Abi Muzarrin and Abi Ghafir Abu Hurairah يقول سمعت سمعت أذناي هاتين وبصر عيناي هاتان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ بيديه جميعا بكفي الحسن أو الحسين وقدميه على قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو قال الحسين ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ارقى سبحان الله. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه reports that I heard with these ears of mine, yeah, my two ears heard, and I saw with my own eyes that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had held Hassan, or perhaps he said Hussein, with his two hands, and he placed his feet on his own feet, and he then said to him, "Climb up." Subhanallah. So Rasulullah's grandson, he's saying, "Climb up me." Sometimes you do this with children. You pull their arms up, and with their feet they climb up. So the boy climbed until. فرقي الغلام حتى وضع قدميه على صدر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The boy climbed up until his feet were on رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم's chest. ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم افتح فاك ثم قبله. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, open your mouth. He then kissed him. ثم قال اللهم أحبه فإني أحبه. Oh Allah, you love him because I too love him. This shows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam his affectionate nature and his kindness, the how he would play with his grandchildren, and he would show them affection. Babu tabassum, smiling. It is a good deed to even meet people with a smile. Inna min al-ma'ruf indaka talqa akhaka biwajhin tariq. So, in this hadith it says, سمعت جريرا يقول ما رآني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منذ أسلمت إلا تبسم في وجهي. سبحان الله. جرير رضي الله عنه says that since the day I became Muslim, whenever I saw رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would smile at me. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخل من هذا الباب رجل من خيل ذي يمن على وجهه مسحة ملك. فدخل جرير. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that a man from among the best people of Yemen who has the look of an angel will enter through this door. Then Jarir came in. So there's two things about Jarir in here. One is that he is the best of the people of Yemen. Rasulullah himself praised the people of Yemen anyway. That al-imanu yamanin. Faith is from iman. And one narration that faith and modesty are from iman. From Yemen, sorry. So he really praised the people of Yemen. And within the people of Yemen, he praised Jarir to be of the best of them. And he said that it's as if his face has been touched by an angel, or he has the effect and the look of an angel on his face. I mean, he was extremely handsome. If I remember correctly, I read that Umar radiallahu anhu once saw Jarir, and he said that I've heard descriptions of Yusuf alayhi salam and his beauty, and I imagined that he looked something like Jarir. Subhanallah. So he was a very handsome man, and this is why Rasulullah said it's as if he's been touched by an angel, or he has the look of an angel on him. Inshallah, we'll read this hadith and we're done for the day. أنا عائشة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت: ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ضاحكا قط حتى أرى منه لهواته. عائشة رضي الله عنها narrates: I have never seen Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم laugh in such a way that would enable me to see the back of his mouth, you know, the tonsil area. Meaning Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, even if he laughed, or you know, if he just smiled, he would keep his mouth closed. He wouldn't laugh loud with his mouth open. إنما كان يتبسم, he would just smile. قالت: وكان إذا رأى غيما أو ريحا عرف في وجهه. If he would see clouds or strong winds, this could be seen in his face, meaning he would become concerned, perturbed, and worried by this. فقالت: يا رسول الله, إن الناس إذا رأوا الغيم فرحوا رجاء أن يكون فيه المطر. عائشة رضي الله عنها said: يا رسول الله, when people see clouds, they become happy out of hope for rain. وأراك إذا رأيته عرف في وجهك الكراهية. I see you that when you see clouds, dislikedness can be seen in your face, unease is seen in your face. وقال: يا عائشة, ما يؤمنني أن يكون فيه عذاب. Said, oh Aisha, how can I be certain that it does not bring punishment? Okay, I don't feel secure from punishment. عُذِّبَ قَوْمٌ بِالْرِيحِ. A certain people were punished with storm wind. Okay. وقد رأى قوم العذاب منه. And there are people who saw such a punishment. فقالوا هذا عارض ممطرنا. And they said, this cloud will bring us rain. This was a punishment of the Qawm of Aad, Hud alayhi salam was sent to them and they refused to believe. So the punishment came that for some time the rain was completely stopped and they had a drought and boiling heat. And then suddenly, after some time, after some weeks or months, Allahu alam, suddenly they saw clouds. So they started to celebrate, the hada aridu muntiruna, the hooray, clouds are coming, we're going to get rain finally. But when the clouds didn't have rain in them, they had a painful punishment and torment which destroyed all of them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though, you know, despite his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his special status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still he was an abd, he was a slave of Allah, and his heart had the fear of Allah more than anybody else. He stated in one place, أنا أعلمكم بالله وأخشاكم به, that I know, I have the most knowledge of Allah and I fear him the most amongst you. So he had fear of Allah. Allah is mighty and you know, Allah is Allah's sifat amongst them are he is al-jabbar, al-mutakabbir. So even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was would become fearsome when he would see clouds, that this could be Allah's azab. This is why we are told, al-iman bayna al-khawfi wa raja, that iman should be between fear and hope. We shouldn't have so much hope that we just become relaxed. Oh, Allah is very kind. Neither should we have so much fear that we become depressed and despondent and we give up. We should have the right balance. Like Umar radiallahu anhu said, that if I am told that all people are going into hell and one person is going into heaven, I'll believe that's me. I'll have hope that's me. But if I am told that all people are going into heaven and one person is going into hell, I'll fear that that could be me. So meaning you hope for the best, but you also fear the worst. You have a right balance in between the two. And this way, you have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. But at the same time, you should have fear that Allah can take account of us. And Allah's punishment can come at any time. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right balance of hope and fear. May Allah bestow us with his khawf and khashyat and also with his raja and hope. And you know, he says in one place, عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي, we should always think good of Allah. Allah will treat us as we think of him. So may Allah give us hope in his mercy. May Allah give us true realization of his kindness and mercy. May Allah give us tawfiq to act upon what has been said. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.